Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.
Marcus, as always, we appreciate the time. We know you have ideas specifically on how to get Steph straightened out. We want to hear about that, but I'll continue with my question. Is shot selection the number one thing that needs to be fixed with the Warriors, and is that the easiest fix out of all of them offensively? Because Steve Kerr, he's pointed to that on several occasions, several conversations, whether it's the one we had with him earlier this week or in media gatherings on this road trip, he's talked about getting better shots.
I think shot selection is the symptom and the actual problem with the virus to fit our modern times is shot creation, right? I think they have an issue creating shots, so they're forced. Like, they got a lot of guys who kind of got to take what they get, right? Take the shots that are given to them. Steph even talks about, taking what the defense gives you. But some of these defenses are just saying, look, man, we're going to press you up on the perimeter. We're going to make you make a move. And because of that, the shots just aren't as open and as free as they used to. But I also think they're missing a lot of open shots. They are missing shots. But I do think it's because the defense is speeding them up. They don't know when these shots are going to be open, and so they're just not as comfortable taking them. But to me, it feels like more an issue of shot creation than it is shot selection.
And they need some of these other, Bielitsa's got to be an offensive guy. He was 0-for-7 last night. The guy that I think is kind of still finding his way is Jordan Poole. I mean, Jordan Poole took 7 shots last night. They were all threes. I think on a team like this, I'd like to see him put it on the deck and penetrate and get inside and either create for others or take a few more twos. How did you see his contribution last night, Marcus?
See if we can get Marcus back here.
We lost Marcus.
His line might have dropped. Yeah, that is – you can clearly see that Poole's trying to get it right and to go 2-of-7 from the field, and all of those – be three-pointers. Last night's game, I mean, to me, that's the aberration because the Warriors were just non-competitive. Once they lost Looney with those 2 quick fouls, that's when everything just went to hell in a handbasket. But so I don't want to make too much. We got Marcus back here. I don't want to make too much of last night, but Marcus, to Larry's point, it'd be nice if you could get a little something more out of Poole, not necessarily regaining the form we saw earlier in the season, but just a little something here, a lot more than what we got last night from him.
Yeah, I do think Poole is going through a rough patch, and I do think that was a big bonus, right? Like, mm-hmm. Him being able to go get you 30, it was a big bonus. I wonder if this is a sign of how much they probably shouldn't have been relying on that, right? Like, it's like, okay, it was cool, but banking on Jordan dropping 30 is probably a lot to ask. So I think it's going to take him some time to adjust. But they do need a creator, and he's the only other dude who can make a shot off the dribble. So
right,
he's got to play better. But Clay definitely should help with that. I think Clay is going to be a big part of this too, by the way.
Yeah. I see you dusted off the Steph ISO column.
I mean, it was only a matter of time, right?
Hey, did you really have to dust it off, or did you have that bad boy shined and ready to go because you felt like it was going to have to be presented?
Nah, that thing was shined and ready.
A few tweaks, yeah, a few updates, hit send.
Let's see if you make any more headway with this
year,
one.
When I'm mapping out my year, I can always bank in. I got like, hey, I know one of my stories is going to be put the ball in Steph's hands. I know that. It's coming, baby. It is coming.
Oh, man. Here's the thing. I mean, you know as well as I do. I mean, there's just no way they're going to do that. I don't even think Steph wants to do it. I think Steph likes doing it how they do it. And you know Steve is opposed to anything that is ISO ball. That's what he hates that. But there are times where I think Steph, it's hard to be that aggressive when you're getting double teamed all the time. And double team, when you bring a pick over, they're going to just double and blitz him and make him pass it out of it. Yet I don't know if Steph really wants that one-on-one, clear the court for me, let me kind of do my thing. Even though sometimes I know you'd like to see it. I wouldn't mind seeing it occasionally. But I don't think that Steph really wants to do it. It's not like he's fighting Steve about, hey, let me do this more, and Steve's saying no. I think they're both kind of on the same page as what they do because, well, it's worked so well in the past, and it looks bad now, but I think they realize they just keep working themselves through it. It'll get back to, well, hopefully where it was.
Yeah, I do think he's gotten more pick and roll, right? I do think he wanted that, and he got it. So it's not all, like, off the ball in that sense. But I do think you're right. A lot of it is Steph not saying, give me the rock, right? Like, he's just not mm-hmm. saying that. I mean, he could, and that's the end of the discussion, right? Like, it's Steph Curry saying, yo, I can take this guy. The problem is, this is like year 7 of the same offense. And it's wild to think teams won't adjust. And at some point, you got to count. We watched Popovich do it. They became a three-point shooting team. Like, they adjust. So I do think for the mere, like, sanity of everyone, they've got to figure out another way to get Curry going. And I just think you just have to do that. Everybody – well, not everybody. Not everybody can do it, but the good teams can. They know how to overplay. They know where the relocation is going. They stay locked in. You think about who they got to go through in the playoffs. Chris Paul is ready for that. Mm. Right, like he knows what's happening. He's coached Phoenix up on it. He's been through it for years. LeBron James is ready for it. Like, they know what's coming. So it's not like it's a big secret. Like, we know. We're watching, and we know what's about to happen. And we're on the couch, right? Like, so it's not like the people who study this for a living won't know. So sometimes I do think they just need to say, all right, just here's a matchup we like. Let's milk it. Mm-hmm. I know they're going to double, but make them do it. Don't just presume they're going to do it so that you never do it. Take him. Like, Mikal Bridges had 4 fouls or 5 fouls one time. He ain't take him one time. Like, I don't care what's happening. You put 4 dudes on the right, and you say, Steph, take this dude with 5 fouls. He's not – he's going to foul you or foul out the game, or he's not going to play you aggressively, and that's the problem. And the reason, to me, the issue is when they need to go to it, not everybody's in sync with it, and that's the problem, right? Like, when Steph is going ISO, what, nobody else knows what to do because they just don't do it, right? Like, when it's Harden, like, the whole team knows what to do, right? Because it's all they do. But like, if Steph, okay, now you need an ISO, and you got players who don't know what to do. They don't have, like, counteractions. I mean, think of something to do when the help comes. Like, what is it going to be? But I think right now they've gotten to a point where the other team just knows what's coming, and the good ones can kind of jump ahead. And Steve, you know, is always right, right? In the end, the long game always works, and when they're holding up a trophy, he's going to give me a look like, I thought you said we should go ISO, right? remember that? But every year, you notice that every year, at some point, Steph is like, man, forget that. And then he just starts taking the guy. Like he did it with Dellavedova, right? So I just think it's a way to make it more diverse and to keep people off their heels. But, like, he was taking Zaire Williams every time. And then in the fourth quarter, it's like you run a 15-second play to get Wiggins the ball in the post. I'm like, this dude got a rookie on him. Like, go cook this dude, Steph. And I'm talking to you, Steph. Would you go cook this dude? Like, demand the ball and go cook the rookie.
Well, the interesting thing is, like, right now, I'm wondering if more ISO is the answer because he's struggling so much. And I don't know if I want to put the ball in his hands that much. I don't know if that'll get him out of it. I doubt it. Maybe it could. But we were trying to come up with something this week, Marcus, as to why he's struggling so much. I mean, over the last 10 games or so, he's not just bad. He's like one of the worst three-point shooters, volume three-point shooters in the league. And his shooting numbers are down across the board, overall and three-point percentage. He's never shot under 40. He's at 38. And he's down around 42% overall field goal percentage. And we're trying to figure out, is it the ball? Is it the three-point chase? It kind of got him off rhythm a little bit, and he's yet to kind of recapture that.
Is he tired? But,
yeah, we've never seen Steph go through an extended period of time where he just He's not a good shooter right now, and I can't explain it. Do you have any thoughts on it? Maybe help us out a little bit.
I think it's a multitude of factors. I think one, the 3-point chase. I think two, he is tired. Mm-hmm. Like, not like take a day off tired, but you know, I need to go on vacation to like Cabo tired, right? But I also think there's the defense has adjusted even more a bit, where like he's used to you got the front line defender, he's used to the second line defender, and now teams are having that third line defender. Steph is like, he's got his photographic memory, right? He likes to read and kind of like know what's about to happen, and I think he's having a hard time figuring it out. So I think a big reason is he doesn't know what's coming, and I think that's part of the issue, is prevent him from getting rhythm. He doesn't know always where the shot is coming from, and I think they've relied on that so much. You know, like when he'll pass the ball, he'll cut, he'll run to the corner, like he knows that shot, he's shot it a million times. But when they jump it, and now he's got to come the other way, and now it's just kind of chaos because he doesn't know where the shots are coming from. That's why I think putting the ball in his hands helped. Like when he was rolling against Utah, when he was rolling against Memphis, he controls where the shot is coming from when he has the ball. When he doesn't have the ball, he's not in control. So if they're overplaying and face guarding and he doesn't know, okay, this time I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to let them go 4-on-4, or do I, like, what do I do? How do I get it if I know this guy is on me and then I go over here, it's going to be two more, and they don't really have options for face guard for, like, the Nick Nurse defense, right? So I think he's trying to figure out, where do I get my shots? Mm. From what spot on the floor? When do I take them? When do I say, go ahead, Wiggins, you cook? It's just more defense coming at him. So that's one of the reasons why I think it's good to get him on the ball, because now he knows. Like, obviously, like you said, they're going to bring two. But sometimes I think they do that on purpose. Like, he's dribbling the ball, and he's calling for the screen, and he's inviting the double team. It's like, no, take your man, and then make him draw that, make the second defender come. And so now you're controlling when the second defender is coming from, instead of saying, all right, I'm going to draw the screen, and I'm going to hit Looney at the top of the key. Well, everybody knows that's what you're doing. So to me, that's why I say give him the ball more, because that's how he creates a rhythm. And now he just doesn't know where shots are coming from. And you could see, you could tell, you could like sit there and tap your fingers and be like, all right, I've been tapping for a while. Steph's about to rush a shot. Like the longer you just start tapping and your hand gets tired and Steph hadn't shot then, he'd be like, I'm going to stop tapping when Steph shoots. You'll know when it's time for Steph to take a shot, because he hadn't taken one in a while. And then it's probably going to be rushed. He's going to take the first look available because he hadn't gotten a look, and it's usually rushed. And that's just not how he's been playing. So he's just trying to figure it out, like in his mind, figure it out. And I think until he does that, he'll come through. Another thing is, he always starts slow. It's always a turn up after the All-Star break. Just go look at the numbers.
Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.
For an amateur basketball psychiatrist, time to diagnose what's wrong with Steph Curry, but it comes from a place of love because, and Marcus is right, Steph is eventually going to get cooking, but it is odd to see Steph shoot a career low from the field and from three at this point. And over the last six games, it's been even worse, with Steph shooting 34% from the field. And as I mentioned a little while ago, 28 and change from behind a three-point line. You mentioned Andrew Wiggins a couple of times. How do we get him cooking? Because Tommy has mentioned, not just from an offensive standpoint, but you'd like for him not only to get to the free throw line, Wiggins, a little bit more, but you'd like for him to help you out on the glass a whole hell of a lot more than he's done as of late.
To me, that's another reason to put the ball in Steph's hands. Okay. I just think Wiggins is like, so essentially, he doesn't get any more like finishing opportunities, really, right? It's all spot up if he gets an open look, or shot creation, where it's like, okay, we like your matchup. Let's run a set to get him a ball in his spot. And when they played Minnesota, remember, like, he kind of blew up and dunked on Carl Anthony Towns, and then he was aggressive then. He was slashing. He was also crashing offensive boards. I just think now he's kind of funneled into these two spots on the court. It's spot up, or it's, man, go create a shot, because you got a height advantage. So I do think, you know, another thing, they don't do transition much at all anymore either. They walk the ball up the court. I'm like, yo, you got to get that dude out in transition. That's why I like GP2 playing, because he just promotes transition games. But yeah, Wiggins is, it's crazy. A lot of dudes are in a funk at the same time. Otto Porter is not hot anymore either.
Yeah.
So it's like, you look up and down the board, Jordan Poole's struggling, Andrew Wiggins is struggling, Steph is struggling. Like, they don't have anybody to bail them out, really. And then, you know, Clay is still working himself back. I think, to me, if you're saying, all right, Wiggins, we're in a funk, save us, that's probably not a good situation to be in. It's like, yo, Steph is cooking, Jordan Poole's cooking, then Wiggins is going to kill you. Like, he's going to be the finisher. But if you need him to create it, that's just a tough spot to put him in.
You know, I think it's just fatigue. I really do. I don't think it's anything other than fatigue. You know, I mean, the Warriors, the style that they play is, as you said, less ISO, more body movement, more ball movement. There's more energy that's expended when you play that style. And if you look at Steph's minutes, he's going 35 minutes a game. He hasn't played this many minutes on average since he was 25. He's almost 34. I think it's fatigue. Give me your thoughts on the Warriors without Green, though, because, I mean, they're 30-11. They're 28-6 when he plays. They're a losing team when he doesn't play. They're 2-5 coming into tonight without Draymond. To me, that's, you want his argument for why he deserves MVP consideration. It's right there. They're a dramatically better team when he's on the floor.
No question. I mean, they've been hanging their hat on defense all year, and he's the guy, especially in the fourth quarter, right? When Draymond goes to center, like, that's when they really lock in. All those, like, tough stops at the rim, all those, like, clutch rebounds just in traffic, like, that's what they don't have in the fourth quarter. That's what they needed against Memphis. And everything is different if they finish off that Memphis game, right? Like, we're talking about it a little bit different.
Yeah.
They've been struggling for a while offensively, but they always had the defense. And without Draymond, they don't have that. But also, I don't know, man, Steve's going to be on my neck about this, but this is another reason to put the ball in Steph's hands, because off the ball without Draymond is not the same off the ball. Like, it's just not. Like, Draymond is the playmaker, right? So now you got Wansonstown or Anderson doing it. Now you got, you know, other guys who don't really just have that vibe with Steph. And considering how the defense is playing him, like, him and that passer, they just have to have some kind of telepathy. Because you make a mistake, if it's not on point, that's a turnover. Like, it's three dudes around him. So you're trying to get him the rock, you're either not going to pass the ball because you don't feel comfortable with the pass, or you're going to pass it and it's going to be a turnover. So you lose either way. But him and Draymond just have that vibe to where, all right, you know what I'm thinking, you know where I'm going. And the window is so short, like, Draymond can hit it. So it just makes it that much harder. To me, that's another reason. I know the answer. They're just going to double Steph. But at least if you do that, it's 4-on-3. And the way they're doing it now, where it's like the defense knows it's coming, so it doesn't have to be 4-on-3. They're already ready for the rotation and the recovery. So at least you force the 4-on-3. If he has the ball in his hands, I wouldn't let nobody bring the ball up besides Steph. If you listen to Steve Kerr, nobody crosses half court with the ball but Steph.
He's not listening.
Marcus is the guy that keeps asking his dad for the car keys, and Marcus's dad keeps telling him, we don't have a car. And he keeps asking him, man, can I get the car keys? I told you, we don't have a car.
because I was also the guy who would ask or logically understand the answer and never ask. And then later on, they would say, well, if you would have asked, or if you would have been persistent. And I'm like,
It's a good life lesson. I do
love that about you. That girl, she said no, and then you let it go, and then she was like, "Man, why you didn't keep trying, man?" Aaliyah said, "Dust yourself off and try again."
Hey, so no means no.
Except when it doesn't, apparently. Except when you're not determined enough. Well, wait a minute, you can't have it both ways. Well, what are we doing here? We can't tell me one thing and then tell me no. That doesn't work. Hey, but let's switch off real quick before we let you go. Niners and Cowboys this weekend, and kind of what is that game? We've been talking about this, what that game means to us, and the history behind this game. I'm just curious what you thought when you first saw the matchup, and you know, how big is this? Not just this one seems bigger. Like, yeah, you advance in the playoffs, but whenever the Cowboys, and it's been a while, Cowboys and Niners meet in the playoffs, it just seems bigger than just that.
Because it is, right? And then on top of that, like, as we are, like, you know, on the heels of celebrating John Madden, right? Like, this John Madden, Pat Summerall, Cowboys, Niners. Bro, that's my life right there. If you know what a football life, that's where it begins, right? Like, I mean, first off, it's two of the storybook franchises. And also, I think what adds to this is both of them have a chance to be good going forward. So it's not like one is at the top and one is at the bottom. It's like this could be something, right? Like, obviously, they're both in kind of that middle tier, but this could be the first of a few of these things. So to me, it's like it just brings the history into the present, right?
Yeah.
So I do kind of feel bad for the youngsters who, like, you know, don't understand how big this is, right? Who don't remember, like, T.O. on the star, right? Or don't remember, like, Deion switching teams and winning, right? Like, or Jerry Rice going against Deion. Like, that stuff was so formative. Like, this is hype. And it's not the same, obviously. Like, Debo versus Trayvon Diggs probably won't meet the bar of Rice versus Sanders, but man, we get a little nostalgia with our football this week, right? Like, so that it's probably a bigger deal to me than it is to everybody else, because it feels like, let's go, we're back. I'm 13 again.
Nah, you got
we all feel that
yeah,
way.
You got kindred spirits around here, my man. It's exciting because it's the Bay Area, and you know the Niners getting into the playoffs, and this season has been quite the interesting roller coaster ride. But yeah, the nostalgia definitely rings true. And I've been saying it all week, and I know I'm not the only one. This is our chance, as a certain generation of Bay Area sports fans, to introduce our kids to Cowboys Niners and to teach them to hate the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, like, we get to do it with 3 hours of a visual aid on Sunday. You can't ask for anything better.
And then so many of my family members have, like, moved to Texas, right? Because, you know, California.
Sure.
And it's like, well, what you going to do? You got to pick a side.
What's that you know, claiming, homie? Who you with?
Yeah, who you with? You got to pick a side. Who you rolling with? Let's see you wear that Garoppolo jersey in Dallas.
Yeah.
It's really about that life.
Oh, man, we always appreciate the time and the insight. Marcus, be well. We'll talk to you next week.
Hey, Tom, tell Steve to chill. Like, it's just a basketball opinion. Like, you don't have to kill me for it.
Too late.
I love that you keep grinding it, though. I love it. And, oh, by the way, wearing a Garoppolo jersey in Dallas may be safer than wearing it here. That's a possibility.
Wow.
Fact.
That's a deep thought right there.
Depending how the game goes Sunday.
Yeah, we'll see you, Marcus. Be well, man.
See you, Marcus.
See you, Marcus. I'll put in a good word for you.
Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.